World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leadings of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Why didn't I feel like I was getting a little bit of feedback there? Did anybody else feel that other than me? Heard that twice? Al Spencer said it's his fault. All right, fired! Fired. Morning, folks. Hey, look, I got some great news for you right off the top, okay? Paul Goslin, it's always good to see you, man. I'm glad you're out. I'm glad you're alive. And just want you to know how much we appreciate you. And you're going to get justice, brother. You're going to get justice. What was I saying? Oh, listen, this has revolutionized me. And I'm telling you, I'm going to offer this to you. Anybody, you don't have to raise your hand. Anybody out there sometimes can't sleep? Anybody out there sometimes wake up in the middle of the night and can't go back to sleep? How many of you believe in the power of the word? I mean, now listen, we say that we do. You really believe it? You really believe in it? And when you're having dreams and you're waking up and you can't go back to sleep and you count backwards from 100, I've done it all. My mind gets racing on the day ahead. And is this person going to be okay? And does that person go okay? And did I make this right deal here? Y'all with me? I'm telling you, the last four nights, I've slept like I can't even tell you. And it's because, where did I put it? Spencer, folks, do this. I'm telling you, do this. Soak in God's promises. Do that, Spence, real quickly. Then we're going to do communion today. Joe got up for us. Here's what it is, friends. This is on YouTube. And I just was tired of it the other night. I sleep with my phone by my bed. I know we're not supposed to.
Jeremiah 29.
But I do. It's on my bedstand. I know it's bad for us. So I said, well, rather than doing that, well, what am I going to do? So I went to YouTube and I said, typed in Bible verses. And so I typed up Bible verse, and look what popped up here. Can you put it on the main screen, Spence? I'm just telling you guys, you don't have to use this one. I found this thing here. Maybe I'll go to my own screen here. I'll see it a little bit better. Hang on. Good news for you. I'm telling you, good news. So this is Soak in God's Promises by the Ocean. And you know what it is? It is 8 hours, 7 hours and 59 minutes of scripture. Play it a second. I lay there in bed. My mind gets racing. John, and I hear all these scriptures
16
for 8 hours while I'm asleep. Go ahead. It floods the whole room.
So
you can put it on your phone. You could put it on your computer. You do whatever you want to. If you're having, hey, listen, I would just say this to all of you. What better therapy could you get than 8 hours of sleep, the word of God coming inside of you, man? So just play a little bit so they can hear what it's like, okay? There's no subscription, I don't think. There's no
saved through him. John chapter 8, 34 through 36. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed."
I'm going to fall asleep here on you in a minute.
Malachi chapter 3, 10 through 12. "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you."
Put in the chat, 8 hours. If you're having trouble sleeping, or if you wake up in the middle of the night and can't go back to sleep, put this on. The word of God, the soothing word of God. I'm telling you, Last four nights, been doing it. I wake up pretty refreshed. Amen. Boy, I got some good stuff to dump on you today. I'm pondering. I'm not brain dead. I'm pondering here. You know, one of my greatest frustrations. I don't want any fame. I like to go places and people don't know who I am. Who wants to be famous? I don't want to be famous. But I'm telling you that the things that we are discussing here bring liberty. You can raise your hand out to say, yep, coach, it sure brought liberty to me. I'm not patting myself on the back. That's not what I'm saying. Daggone, man. The truth sets people free. And the variety of stuff that we get into here, like what I'm going to get into this morning, from a spiritual standpoint, it would never happen in your church. Your pastor's doing a sermon series, right? A sermon series on love, a sermon series on faith. Not that there's anything wrong with those, but you've been in church how long and still hear that same stuff? Say, I heard that 7 years ago, Pastor. Didn't you preach that 7 years ago? And not that we don't need to, but aren't some of you beyond that? Aren't you beyond that? I get that already. I get it. What's next? Hey, Pastor, what do I do about the fact that they're teaching homosex to my grandson in school? What do I do about that? Okay. And until the church wakes up and we understand that we are the answer, we are the whole, where is it? The whole creation groaneth for the manifestations of the sons of God. Where is that? That's in the scripture. And what you're seeing and hearing right now is the whole creation groaning. Where are God's people? Think I'm crazy? You think I'm crazy? You look around out here, you tell me that God's will is being done in America. Are you kidding me? This, the poison we're pumping into the minds of our little children. Are you kidding me? You think God's will is being done? I got some statistics today, if I get to them, that will blow your mind. I'm going to give you one of them right now without taking you there. Did you know this? Huh? Oh, I know you didn't know it. That's why you came in here. Today in America, 7% of Americans have a biblical worldview. I might get into that here in a second. So you hang tight. Do you think like a Christian? And what does a Christian think like? And what is a biblical worldview? And why is it our churches are so lost when statistics say that 40% of pastors have considered quitting within the last month? Why? Why? Because they're pounding their head against a wall trying to do stuff they're not supposed to do. I'm not mad, Betty. It just seems like it. Huh? You guys ever do that? I see my lovely wife. She's always running the sweeper. I said, honey, do you ever get done with that? And she said, no, no. So if you're a pastor and you're teaching the same, doing the same thing over and over and over, and you're not getting a different result, dude, what's going on? What's going on? Are your people growing? How do you measure whether or not they're growing? They're growing because they're coming every week. They're tithing at what way? I'm not mad. We're so much more than we've become. We are so much the church, the body of Christ, witnesses to the world. I'm not angry. It just seems like it. Y'all agree? Give me a thumbs up. Betty, I know you agree with it. Yeah, one person. I don't need affirmation. I just know that I'm telling you the truth.
Boom.
Huh? Telling you the truth. That the church has removed its hands from everything that impacts the world around them, which is, by the way, government, which is Isaiah chapter 9. Quickly, Spencer. Isaiah chapter 9. Economy. Hang on. I'll get you in here. I'll get you in here. Huh? Keep on going. Come on. Keep on going. For every battle of the world. Hang on. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and confused garments, rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire, talking about the word of God. For unto us, a child is born. And unto us, a son is given. And the government shall be separated from him. And he shall be called all kinds of names, or his name's not even be allowed to be mentioned in schools, in public. No. For unto us a son is given, the government, noun, shall be upon his shoulders. The body begins at the shoulders. He's the head. We're the body. The government is on his shoulder. He's president. We're the government. He's the president. We're the government. He's the king. We're the government. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his shoulders, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it. Order what? Government! And to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And what do we find out right now? The whole world is groaning, waiting for the manifestations of the Son of God. And they tell us there's a separation between the church and state, and we sit in our churches and pray for end times so we can get out of here when he told us to occupy till he comes. Okay, my rant's over. My rant's over. Because they think I'm crazy. Although, praise the Lord, Betty, you ain't going to believe this. You ain't going to believe it. Some church in Minnesota just invited me to come and speak. You believe that? I don't know the last time I was ever in a pulpit. Why would you want me in the pulpit? Well, I would just make a mess, wouldn't I? No, I'd tell you the truth. But the truth makes a mess, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Anyway, sorry, not enough about me. Enough about me. I appreciate our good friend. Isn't it good to have Paul Goslin back in there with us? Huh? Isn't it good to have him back? Keep praying for
that Lord.
Keep praying for that guy. Huh? I'm telling you. And he hasn't told me this, but I know he has a financial need. I know he does. Now, he's going to be a multimillionaire at some point. Right now, I know he has a financial need. And so he's our brother, and we're going to do all we can to help him. And Paul, I sent some your way. Did you get it by any chance yet? Did it show up yet? Something's wrong in the mail, because I know I sent something to another person, and I don't know if they got it.
Did it come yet? The mail's screwed up. So
yeah, mail's fine. That's the next front, folks. I'm telling you, that is the next censured front, the mail. The mail.
Thanks.
Amen. Amen. It's not, it ain't from me. It's from these folks.
I know.
All these people that are in here.
Thanks, guys.
They support us here at Pass the Salt Ministries, and we support others. So if you get it, let me know, all right? Appreciate it. Okay, I'm sorry. Joe Carrico, sorry to make you get up in the morning and hear that rant, Joe, but it's important. I need about 4 hours this morning, but I'm only going to take about 40 minutes. So, Joe, go ahead and take us.
Okay, through. Coach, I think that a lot of people, our brothers and sisters who join us here, are looking forward to these rants and why you get up in the morning.
All right.
Because you often pick out good points.
I'm on the back, right? Yeah. Because, look. Some of them are controversial, aren't they, Joe? So it's okay to be. Hey, Mark Manley, is it okay to be controversial a little bit? Is it okay to step on somebody's toes a little bit?
It's important to do that, Coach. It's
and remain friends? You mean we can still be friends if we disagree, huh?
Yes, sir. Okay. Maybe better friends.
All right. Amen, brother. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. Well, today's
I don't even agree with my wife. I call her Yang. She calls me Ying, and she Yang. I don't even agree with her. Go ahead.
Maybe that's why God put you together. So you strengthen each other.
She hadn't left me yet.
So today's reading is a bit special, and there's no coordination here except Holy Spirit, because I'm starting with what Coach just had on, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. It's Holy Spirit, Coach.
That's a God wink, man. That's a God.
Yeah, that's a God wink. And then I'm going to go to Isaiah 53, 3-6. And then I'm going to go because here we start with the birth of our Lord and the prophetic, and then we go to the price he paid for us in the prophetic of Isaiah 53, and then we go in the close with Romans 15:10-13, in which we go back to Isaiah. And sometimes I've discovered Isaiah is written in the Greek without starting with Isaiah, and no H and no big I in the word, but it's the same name. I don't know why they did that, but then he goes back to Isaiah, and we praise the Lord because we should. So
enough theology already, Joe. Let's go.
Yeah, I know, but it feels better this one. It balances because I mean Isaiah 53 is really powerful, but it's really strong.
It is,
and it's nice to end on praise. I think. Amen. So, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end.
So his government brings peace. His government brings peace, doesn't it? He's the Prince of Peace. Go ahead.
Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice.
Wow.
From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief.
Boom, amen.
As we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not.
We wouldn't look at what they did to him. We ignored. We ignored it. We wouldn't look at him.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
There's that peace word again. There's that peace word. Don't have any peace? I wonder why.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I mean, if we think we have the heavy shoulders sometimes, just think of that.
Amen.
And again, he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may be abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with that hope in our hearts. We come to you with a hope for peace, with clinging to the joy that you bring us. Remembering the promise you made, the promises you made and kept, and understanding that it was all written in the Old Testament what was to happen, and the sacrifice you would pay, and that you would be brought into this world to change it so it will never be the same again. And we repent for our brothers and sisters across the world who don't acknowledge this, don't understand this, or won't admit this, even though they may have been confronted with the truth. So we ask that you open their eyes, open their ears, open their hearts. Let their hearts soften that they might hear you, receive you, understand, begin to understand you, and let you be their Savior. And we ask that you be with all of us here on this call, whether in the live or the recorded version, with everybody and our families all around this country and the world where these words may land. And we ask that through this holiday season, which we know, Lord, wasn't your actual birthday, but Jesus is the reason for the season.
Amen.
And we take advantage of that, and we proclaim your name with joy and gratitude. And we ask that everybody that listens to this and their families remember that we are your ambassadors, Lord. So in this season of peace and love and remembering that how our salvation was brought upon this earth, that we open our hearts and we absorb it in ourselves. When somebody confronts us, we don't give it back. We become shock absorbers, Lord. We become shock absorbers and we absorb it and we don't send it back out again, so that ripple in the pond that would have continued to the next person stops with us. It stops with us, and we don't make it worse. It stops with us, and we bring back the truth as your ambassador, and we bring back the peace. And we ask that you be with all our families and those who are traveling, keep everybody safe. And let us always remember the reason for this season. And I ask that all be blessed with surprise financial positives that they didn't expect over this season, so they can be even a little more generous and feel good. And so, Lord, we are so grateful you came. And we are so grateful for the price that you paid that was prophesied hundreds of years before you were born. And we're so grateful for the seed of Jesse, the house of David, from which your mother sprang down in that line. And we're grateful for this communion that we have that we take this morning. We ask that you bless the bread and the drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you forgive our sins and transgressions as we come into your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until that day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Father, amen. Thank you, Coach.
Amen. I want to take you to the woodshed this morning. Can I take you to the woodshed? Can I take all of us to the woodshed this morning? Be okay? Spencer, why don't you pull up? It is Spencer this morning, and I got rattling so much here this morning. Let me get back over here. Look, make sure it's what I want to do. This is what the Holy Spirit said to me last night. In fact, if you were to look at, a lot of times when I get here something, I email myself so I don't forget it. I heard this last night just before I went to bed, and I emailed it to myself. And that was the weightier matters of the law. I heard that from the Holy Spirit. And I kind of pondered and said, Lord, what the heck? What's that? What's that all about? What's that all about? Well, it led me, if we could, excuse me, to number one. Can you pull that up for me real quick here, Spence? Matthew 23. And it's a bit long, but I want you to stay with me here, okay? Because Jesus is pointing his gun directly at established religion. He's going to undress them, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Do you think we have Pharisees and Sadducees today? Think we got some today? Come on, churches are full of them, right? So then Jesus spoke to the multitude and to his disciples. So this is the Sermon on the Mount. He's speaking to the multitudes. The multitudes are hearing, but he's speaking to the disciples, the religious leaders. Saying the scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. In other words, scribes and the Pharisees, the religious organization, they've made themselves Moses, is what he said. They're in a position of authority. And all therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, they don't observe. They don't do. But do not ye like them. Don't go after their work, for they say one thing and they do another. Jesus talking about religious leaders. Hey, I'm not talking about you. Shoe fits, wear it. So what do? Well, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, rules and regulations and do's and don'ts, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. They ain't going to get involved down in Kentucky or down in North Carolina. Yeah. But all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, large the borders of their garments. Hey, Spencer, while we're talking here real quick, look up phylacteries, because they make broad their phylacteries. Hang on here, folks. A phylactery. What does it mean? What's a phylacter? Oh, dressed, wearing a phylacter. Beautiful garments, dressed like Pharisees. So they look good. They look good. And they make broad their, they wear hoods and, come on, I'm sorry. All right. And they love the uppermost room at the feast, the chief seats in the synagogues. They love all the honor and greetings in the markets. How you doing, Pastor? Good to see you, Pastor. And to be called of men, Rabbi. Oh, they love that. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all your brothers. And call no man father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Do we do that, folks? Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Stay with me. And whoever shall exalt himself shall be thrown down, abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Maybe not publicly, but in God's kingdom. Some of you secretly are being promoted in God's kingdom because of things you're doing, and you ain't telling anybody about it. You're just doing it. And he sees it. But woe unto you, religious leaders, you hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. What? They do? They shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. We don't do that here. We don't do that here in our church. For they don't go in yourselves, and you don't let anybody else go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you shall receive the greater damnation. Are you guys following who he's talking to here? Do you understand who he's talking to here? He's talking to the religious leaders. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you go clear over to Haiti just to get one person saved. And when he is saved, you get him into your church and you make him twice the child of hell that he was before, Jesus says. Woe unto you, blind guides, which say, whoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, why, he's a debtor. You fools, you blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that the gold's in? I'm heading someplace, verse 23. And whoever shall swear by the altar, it's nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift of the opponent, he's guilty. You fools and blind. He's talking to the religious leaders. For whether is greater, the gift or the altar, the rules and regulations of the altar, which is greater? 20. Wherefore thou shalt swear by the altar, sweareth by it, by all things thereon. And whoever shall swear by the temple, swears by the temple, and gone to your church, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth upon thereon. Here we go. But woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. If you pay tithe of menon and anise and cumin, but you've omitted the weightier matters of the law. Time out! What are the weightier matters of the law? What are they? Well, he tells us. What's the first thing he says? Judgment. Followed by mercy. Then faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. But you blind guides, you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You argue over meaningless stuff. You scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You make it all look good on the outside, but on the inside, he's talking about religion. Okay, I gotta switch, because weightier matters of the law. I want to show you something. Spencer, pull up for me. God, I love the internet. Shocking statistics, number 8. You're ahead of me. That would be good. Number 8. I showed you this website yesterday, Ignite America. Shocking statistics. You ready? 76% of Americans affirm that Jesus was a historical figure, like Santa Claus. 76% of Americans believe in Jesus, and they believe in Santa Claus. Same thing, to believe in it. Oh, yeah, I believe there's a God. You believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah. Even 50% of the unchurched agree. 50% of people who do not go to church agree Jesus. However, when the unchurched were asked to select words they associate with Christians, they choose hypocritical, non-Christians looking at Christians. Hypocritical, judgmental, and self-righteous. Now, somebody tell me, help me out here. Isn't that what Jesus just said? Didn't he just say that 2,000 years ago about the boys in charge?
Boom.
And the people, are these people who say that we're hypocritical, judgmental, and self-righteous, aren't they just seeing what Jesus saw? Aren't they just repeating what he said about the American church? So scroll down here a little bit. Hey, I love y'all. I love y'all enough to tell you the truth. It's right there. Good. How about this one, boys and girls? Want to know why we're in the mess that we're in? 1 in 5 Americans, 20%, believe the QAnon claim that a storm of biblical proportion may soon sweep away the evil elites controlling the powers of government. 1/3 of Canadians are certain God exists, compared to 53%. Only half of Americans believe that God exists. Half. They talk about Jesus in public schools, one of the most that historical figure. I don't think they do, do they? Are they teaching third graders about Jesus and Western civilization and how we all got here and right and wrong and what determines we're up? They're not doing that, are they? No? Right and wrong is determined by you, right? 25% of Americans say it's no big deal whether they grow spiritually. They're kind of, I'm okay, you're okay. We're all going to heaven. 50% of Christians feel their spiritual life is entirely private and they ain't going to share it with nobody. 56% of Christians. Christians. About one-third of ministers suffer from depression, at least as high as the national average. Clearly, depression in pastors has reached a level of crisis, given the national average is 4 times higher than just 3 years ago. Let me stop a second. You know why they're depressed? Because they're pushing a rock up the hill. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. They have been forced by the system to be people pleasers. And deep inside, they know something's wrong. They don't know what to do about it. Scroll on down. I'll get you in here in a minute. God, it's been long. I'm sorry. Anyway, this website just over and over and over explained to us exactly what it is that's going on. So real quickly then, what are the weightier matters of the law? Well, Jesus told us what but go back to 23:23. We'll get to here in a second. 23:23. What are they? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe. In other words, you do all the religious duties, but you've omitted the weightier matters of the law. And what are the weightier matters of the law? Judgment. Number one, judgment. What are we being taught in Christianity? Don't judge. I don't judge anybody. I do. I judge people all the time. Wait a minute. I judge their actions. Because if you watch their actions, you will know what they're about. And there's nothing wrong to make a judgment. Say, I don't trust him. That's a judgment. I trust him. That's a judgment. And if you don't make judgments, you're a fool. You're a fool. I'm gonna give you a judgment. I had the most unbelievable wife in all the world. She's the greatest grandma I've ever been around. She's a great wife. She's a great homemaker. She loves people. She goes out of her way to try to minister to other people. She's number one. That's judgment. And if you don't judge, God, I don't even know what to tell you. So what are the weightier matters? Pull this up real quick. This is just an idea. Number two. Pull number two up. So God's priorities. What are the weightier matters of the law? What are they? I'm going to run down them real quick. It's been 37 minutes. I'm sorry. I do mean to. Go ahead. Scroll down. Number one, what's the weightier matters of the law? He gives us 8 woes. Continue reading. What is the weightier law? Things that really, really matter to people. Things that really matter to people. Not things that matter to your church or matter to your elders or matter to people around. What really matters to people and to the Lord. What really matters to the Lord. Right? Not whether or not you turn Sunday night services, not whether you're tithing. Those are all weightier matters. So God's scale, go on down. I'll put it in the chat. You can read it. Keep on going down, Spencer, because he's going to tell us the weightier matters of the law. They're weightier, but they're not burdensome, right? They're weightier, but they're not burdensome. Go on down. Keep going. Justice. Oh, I'm sorry. We're starting there. Okay, so here are the weightier matters, all right? Justice. Folks, are we seeing justice done in America? Is the American church seeing justice done in the government, which, by the way, the government's upon their shoulders, and the increase of his government and peace. In other words, when Christians get involved in government, it brings peace. Are we doing whatever we can, Christian? Are you your brother's keeper? Are you doing everything you can? Am I doing everything I can? Pastor, are you doing everything you can to protect those little innocent children in your church who go to public school? Are you pastor? Can I tell you something? That's a weightier matter of the law. I can tell you. Hey, pastor, I'm not picking on pastors. I'm talking individual Christians here. Huh? Hey, pastors. You do anything about those J6ers? I bother you at all those J6ers? Hey, pastor, huh? You do any type of thing to help them out, pastor? Scroll on down. Weightier matters of the law, justice. Next one, weightier matter of the law, mercy. Mercy ministry. You see people out there, and they're struggling, and you can help them, and you don't do it because you're selfish? Those are the weightier matters of the law. Those are life and death. Those are issues that crush people. Jesus came to bring peace. Now, you don't just give money without some accountability. If you know they're taking it and they're spending it on dope, well, you don't keep giving them dope money. The weightier matter of faith. 58%, we just read it. Americans aren't Christians. Next one. You swallow a camel. You worry about crap without getting to the heart of the issue. Hey, Betty, see how good a student you are. What's the number one issue? What's the number one issue? Judgment. What does the church tell you? Don't judge. Right? Judgment, mercy. Remember, mercy follows judgment. You don't go and get some medicine till you find out you're sick. The diagnosis is judgment. Medicine is mercy. I'm okay, you're okay. I'm okay, you're okay. Who are you to judge? Swallow it a camel. We're worried about what kind of shoes they wear, whether they got a tie on. See, they're not dressing righteously because we're missing the weightier matters of the law. It ain't about their clothes, it's about their heart. I'm sorry. I'm rolling on. Next one. This is all good. Put it in the chat. That's it. Those are the weightier matters of the law. And that those things right there are exactly why people don't want to come to church. Come on now. Can I take it in? Can I take it a little bit farther? Anybody that's been in a church a long time? You know who the power brokers are, don't you? Come on now. You know who's really pulling the strings. Is there supposed to be a hierarchy? Is big Mr. Tither, is he supposed to carry more influence than you, never tither? Good question. All right. I could go on and on and on. It's Friday. I won't do it to you. I promise you I won't. I got to show you this. I'm going to call you in here. Two things I want you to see, just so you have this for the end of the day. Pull up number six for me real quickly, and then I'm going to open it up. Number six. How about this one? Dr. Paul, look at this. Major study. The unvaccinated are the healthiest people on the planet. Is that something?
My Amish friends, yes.
The healthiest people on the planet are unvaccinated. Dude, are you kidding me? Number seven, I got to show you this. This blew me away today. This omnibus bill they just tried to pass. You know, they put all these bills, they stack them that high, nobody reads them, they pass it. Of course, it didn't pass, so maybe we're going to have a government shutdown, but it's a whole other story. Look at this. Hidden inside that omnibus bill that nobody would read would have let the J6 committee off the hook. You tell me these aren't Pharisees and Sadducees running our government, that they put the weightier, that they put weights over the top of all of us and make us follow their rules and their regulations, and they ignore the weightier matters of the law. Lock up those J6ers. Who gives a crap? Lock them up, baby. Give them a fair trial. No, we ain't giving them no fair trial. Why? Because that is the unregenerated heart without Christ. That's what it is.
Boom.
Had an interesting situation yesterday. Two things I want to tell you. Last night, our little LD, I'm not going to tell you the other one, the Lord just check me on. Last night, our little grandson, David, they call him LD, little Dave. He's playing on a little basketball school at the school. They have element. You guys know what they are, bitty basketball. And Davey had bitty basketball last night. So I walked into the school to pick him up. And when I walked into the school, there were girls out in the hallway, and they were dribbling the basketball. And they're dribbling it down the hallway, and I'm standing there, and they had to dribble around me because evidently I was standing in their way, although I didn't know they were standing in their way. And they had to do that and everything. And I picked up Davey, and we're walking down the hall, and they're dribbling around me. I didn't think anything about it. And little David is really, really bothered. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. He was almost in tears. We got in the car. I said, "What's up, Dave? What's the matter?" He said, "Grampy, did you hear what those girls said to you?" Now, David's 7, I think. I said, "No, Dave, what'd they say?" "Grampy, they said, get your fat ass out of the way." "Grampy, I didn't like it that they said that to you. Is that a boom? Is that a boom?"
Boom.
He recognized disrespect. He was ready to go to war with those girls. That said Grampy had a fat ass.
Boom.
How come we're not more like that? Come on in, Dave Allison.
Yeah, thanks, Coach, for the teaching. It's not the suit. It's the fruit.
Say that again.
It's not the suit. It's the fruit. Yeah. And what we have here is in the queue, and this Pass the Salt is full of a bunch of fruity people. And I'm glad to be counted amongst them. You know, they have fruit baskets now. When you go to the store, you can hand out as a gift. And what you'll notice in the fruit basket is it's not all apples. It's not all oranges. It's not all pears, but there's a variety of fruits in there because they know that it makes it a more pleasant experience if you can experience all these different fruits. So, Coach, you're right. I'm glad I'm counted amongst the fruits here. I count it an honor. And you're right. I've got more liberty now than I've ever had in my life as far as being able to step out and minister for the kingdom of God.
Me Amen. Too. And you don't have to take it through a filter, do you? You don't have to go through some filter, somebody's approval. Just go do it, dude. Just go do it.
Amen. And right? Blessings.
Thanks, Coach.
Somewhere along the line, the church became an organization with a hierarchy and with structure. And I'm not against that and against accountability and all that stuff that goes along with. Folks, you are a minister. Are they teaching you to be a minister? And I would say, no, they're not. Why? They're the minister. They are. My butt would have got fired real quickly if I didn't teach the players how to play. Roger, come on in.
I really need for you to confirm something for me.
All right. No, I don't have a fat ass.
Well, I'm not touching that nor talking about your ass. Quite frankly, I take offense that you would think that I would make comment about your ass. But are you telling me that Mike Johnson and Mitch McConnell put language in that bill that allowed the committee not to be found criminally or civilly liable for anything?
That's what I'm telling you, brother.
Now, that is the first I've heard of it, because, you know, they leaked out, you know, they got out a lot of this stuff. But Dave.
It's unbelievable.
It is, as Trump is talking about holding people accountable, Liz Cheney and a few others, Mike Johnson, what a weasel.
What is going on, Raj? What is going on?
I can understand Mitch McConnell, you know. What a weasel. But it's Mike Johnson.
Yep.
Follow the money, Roger. Follow the money.
Well, I don't know what to follow, but I'm telling you, to insert that and to not be able to say, no. We'll agree to some weird things, but that's not one we're going to see how the chips fall there. It's just, it tells you the work that still has to be done. And I'm thankful he got defeated 4 years ago. I am. I'm thankful he got defeated. He has risen up.
Do you think, come on, hey, folks, are you looking at me? You really think our elected officials would put into power a principled man? Huh? A principled man? You think so? I think my guess, Mike Johnson and Mike Pence must have the same mother or the same pastor.
No, the same church. The same church,
whatever, right? Right? Did you see this? This is shaking in their boots. They want either Vivek Ramaswamy, whatever that is, or Elon Musk to be Speaker of the House. Did you guys see that? Do you know that you do not have to be an elected official member of Congress to be Speaker of the House?
Yep.
And that Rand Paul yesterday said, we want Elon Musk as Speaker of the House. Would that stir some things up rather than some guy who's indebted to all of those? Oh, my goodness. Things are coming. Okay, here's some cuss words. Sorry, it's going to be a cuss word. Bring up number four. No. Number three, sorry. Bring up number three. Hey, I'm warning you, cuss words. Hang on. What was the first thing that Jesus said to the Pharisees? Weightier matters of the law. Can you go back there, Spencer? Because I want to make a connection here. Matthew 23:23. Jesus said, you weigh them down with heavy burdens, but you ignore the weightier matters of the law, which are judgment, mercy, and faith. So Steve Bannon is going to say some bad words here, but you need to hear it. Go ahead. Hold your ears.
Somebody said President Trump's retribution, his success is going to be the golden age and coming back and great jobs and everything. And that's true because President Trump's a kind-hearted man. President Trump's a good man. Okay, I'm not that kind-hearted and I'm not that good. I want good old-fashioned Old Testament retribution, okay? I want to go after with Mike Davis the vast criminal conspiracy that for the last 4 years tried to bankrupt Donald Trump, tried to imprison Donald Trump, tried to assassinate Donald Trump. That's what we're going to go after. We're going to investigate it, and we're going to put all the guilty in prison where they belong so they can never do it again. We got a huge fight in front of us, but I'd like who's on my side of the football, right? We got to have Trump's back. We got to fight every day. When in the Napoleonic Wars, they had this thing, you know, Napoleon, very focused. And he had these, his top guys were called the Marshals of France, and there were 12 of them. Okay. And he had them in there one time. It's all confusing. And he said, hey, shut up. Focus. When you set out to take Vienna, take Vienna. That's what we're going to do. Take the imperial capital. You guys are going to be ascendant. We're going to get President Trump's program through. And one last thing, Trump 2028. MSNBC, fuck
I don't
you.
Necessarily agree with Trump 2028, but there must be justice. Folks, mercy follows justice. And what these guys have done to our American government is criminal. Joe Allen, come on in.
My father was born in 1924. He says three people that he didn't trust. That was a car salesman, insurance salesman, and a lawyer. Sorry, Rob. So nowadays, we're looking at four. You can add a preacher to it.
Mm.
So in D.C., what is it full of? Lawyers.
It is.
Enough said.
At the beginning of our Constitution, you weren't supposed to be a lawyer and be able to be administered in there. And hey, folks, look, it's the absence of Christ. I don't care whether you're a lawyer or a preacher or a hot dog maker. If you're dishonest, you don't have the Spirit of the Lord. It ain't going to work. I don't care how many degrees you have. If you're dishonest, it ain't going to work. Jack.
Yeah, Coach. Just a tidbit on what Rogers' exasperation is. They've been putting those kind of things in as long as we can, any of us have been paying attention. National Defense Authorization Act and continuing resolutions are just full of those kind of nasty little things. In the 2012 National Defense Authorization Act, they simply crossed out from the Uniform Code of Military Justice that bestiality was a crime. They just crossed it out. We got to pay attention. We need righteous people in there paying attention, and that's what we're missing.
Hey, Spencer, see if you can Google. I don't know if you can. So I don't know. See if you can Google a picture of the omnibus bill that they just rejected. The size of it. I saw a picture of it this morning. I couldn't believe it. But this bill, this omnibus bill, they showed the stack of it. But how big it was, 1,800 pages, something unbelievable that hadn't even been read by the people who were voting on it. Along political lines, it's all game. And one of the reasons that Bannon and those guys are fighting, saying, listen, if we let them shackle this revolution now with a continuing revolution, that means the new Congress, the new president, they will have handcuffs on at least for the first year. And if they, those guys who vote, even though Trump wanted them to pass it, those guys who, 50 some Republicans who voted against it, said, no, we got to clean this mess. This is our last chance to clean up this mess. Jeff, he's looking real hard. I'm sorry, Spence. I should have had a picture. There it is. There it was. Right there. Go back up. Go back. There it is. There it is. Here's the bill. There's the bill. Just a continuing revolution. Yeah, we approve all that stuff, and we'll slide a few more things in there too. Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good. That's it. That's the ticket. That's the ticket. Go ahead, Jeff Klein.
Gosh, they brought it up, the car salesman and the lawyer. So do you remember back when we were going through that federal lawsuit for 6 years with the strip club?
Yeah, sure I do.
Remember them sleazy attorneys they had for the strip club?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, they were evil. We sat there at that desk that day. Remember all the depositions we did for days? Days. I mean, it was horrible. And them guys were just nasty. Well, that attorney looked at me across the table and he says, you know, they say that people don't trust car salesmen. And I'm telling you, as soon as he said that to me, I looked up and pointed my finger in his face. I said, just about as much as they trust attorneys. Oh, Tom Condon and Pastor Bill busted out laughing. And them guys called for a break. They sent us all out in the hallway. He's like, because they didn't want nobody talking to him that way.
Well,
I couldn't resist.
Like, so I'm not going to beat up on my lawyer friends. Our son just became one, okay? Understand this. The job of an attorney is to find exceptions in the law. That's their job. Their job is to defend their client and point out where the law isn't clear, not clear about that. That's a good lawyer. That's what they do. Anybody remember O.J. Simpson? If it doesn't fit, it must acquit. Change the whole case. If it doesn't fit, it must acquit. There's another picture of the bill. Thank you. From Elon Musk. Do you think they read it? Huh? I don't think they read it. I don't think they read it. Johnny, come on in. If it doesn't fit.
Yeah, they put in for a continuance of the existing proposals. Okay.
That's right.
So why couldn't they just sign one piece of paper for that proposal? No. So there's 1,547 other pages. That's where people have to look. People, their words
Johnny,
are so
they should
tricky.
Be able to vote on individual pages. Vote on individual pages, like aid to North Carolina, up or down vote, yes or no.
But the way they worded it to the people was to the existing proposals that are already set in place. These are all extras. They're not even counting those.
No,
there's 1,547 pages there.
Johnny, they ignore the weightier matters of the law, don't they, friends? Huh? Oh my goodness! What
a trickery,
huh? It's unbelievable. Justice, mercy, We need some justice. See you. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.